Hello, Zimbabwe. Welcome to Live Talk, the connection, a platform where we discuss issues affecting young people. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. I am your host, Taboka Ngube. Today we are discussing Zimbabwe's deportation of U.S. aid officials. This at a time when Zimbabwe is facing a crippling drought and USAID and other organizations have been working with the government to assist food insecure communities. But first, a look at what is happening in the U.S. Even as some U.S. states explore new methods to implement the death penalty, there are signs that public opinion is turning against execution. VOA's Veronica Balderas Iglesias looks at the arguments for and against a capital punishment as the United States faces growing international calls to abolish the practice. Let's get that report on Veronica Balderas speaking on against a capital punishment as the international community calls for the abolishment of the practice. This is the package on that issue.
The use of the death penalty in the United States is under scrutiny once again after the state of Alabama used nitrogen gas for the first time ever in January to execute a death row inmate. States have been searching for alternative execution methods as drugs for lethal injections have become scarce. But consensus has not been reached yet on what form of execution is considered the most humane.
Some states are looking at a return to the firing squad. Others are looking at electrocution. No method of execution should inflict gratuitous pain and suffering. And that is what states are held to as a standard.
The state of Idaho's botched lethal injection of a serial killer last month prompted renewed calls by the European Union for the United States to follow a worldwide trend and abolish the death penalty. In 2022, about 55 countries worldwide allowed capital punishment.
The death penalty fails to act as deterrent to crime. Quite to the contrary, I mean, there are miscarriages of justice still possible, and they are irreversible.
There are signs the tide is changing. 27 of the 50 U.S. states retain the death penalty in their judiciary systems, but only 5 of them executed people last year, putting a total of 24 people to death. And public support for the death penalty for convicted murderers among Democrats has steadily decreased in recent years, according to Gallup polls. Last year, only 32% of Democrats favored it, compared to 81% of Republicans.
Concerns about fairness, equality, and simple justice, I think, are driving this change in the national conversation.
While acknowledging the concerns of those who want to abolish the practice, citing cruelty and the possibility of an innocent person on death row, New York Law School professor Robert Blecker doesn't see the death penalty going away completely.
The only moral justification for punishment is retribution. It's because some people commit crimes that are so heinous, with an attitude that is so despicable, that they simply deserve to die.
As a presidential candidate in 2020, Joe Biden vowed to abolish the death penalty. But under his administration, there have been some inconsistencies, analysts say. The Justice Department declared a moratorium on federal executions in 2021, but greenlit capital prosecutions for mass shooters in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and Buffalo, New York. Republican former President Donald Trump, who is seeking a second term in office, has suggested the capital punishment be used for drug dealers. Historically, however, the death penalty has not been a top concern for U.S. voters in election years. Veronica Valderas Iglesias, VOA News, Washington.
In Harare, speaking to journalists after a cabinet meeting this afternoon, Lands, Agriculture, Fisheries and Rural Development Minister Anxious Masuka said private players are now allowed to import genetically modified maize, but refused to comment on the report by the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee on Agriculture's recent fact-finding mission, which established that several grain marketing board depots countrywide have not been supplied with grains by farmers due to the government's failure to pay on time.
And they will continue to import maize for human consumption. And we also say that if they wished to import genetically modified maize, they can do so. But that must be under strict supervision for importation, milling, and distribution, and destined for stock feed. And we say that our food security ought also to be premised on consideration of wheat as a cereal crop, either for consumption, direct consumption by people, as bread or as mealie-meal, or for a swap arrangement. And when we looked at these components, we felt comfortable as cabinet that Zimbabwe would be able to meet the food security requirements for the nation to March 2023. Then the other one, I think, is a bit offside in that when the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee visited and made certain observations, now the minister has to explain on behalf of the Parliamentary Committee's observations. Perhaps it's not entirely fair for me to do so. I've not seen their report, except to say that government is committed to paying farmers as timely as is possible, dependent on the resources. Why we have structured liberalization of the market so that the off-takers can pay whatever they've contracted directly. Government has paid all the maize that has been, for the, all the maize that has been delivered to the GMB. What is outstanding is a portion of the wheat that was delivered. Government.
As the drought continues to wreak havoc in Zimbabwe, Minister Masuka also said the government will allow the importation of rice, cooking oil and potato seed on a duty-free basis from July 2024 in an effort to tackle the drought situation fueled by the El Nino weather phenomenon.
In the context of rice, we only produce less than 1% of that rice requirement. We consume 10,000 metric tons of rice every month, 120,000 metric tons, which is predominantly imported. And you say, why do we make that vatable? Why do we make it expensive? So why can't we remove VAT on it so that it becomes more affordable? And that was Cabinet's decision, that let's remove the VAT on rice. We also looked at seed potato. We are able to produce somewhere in the region of 40% of our seed potato requirements. We consume somewhere in the region of 400 to 500,000 metric tons of Irish potato, table potato. So for the 50% of seed that we import, we said that will ultimately lead to more expensive table potato purchases. If we removed this component at input level, this would be more affordable. Then we looked at households and said, in an El Nino year, the three worst affected aspects, we looked at cooking oil, we looked at the maize meal, and we said perhaps we should allow duty-free importation by households from July onwards. And what we define as a household consumption is...
That was Agriculture Minister Anxious Masuka speaking to journalists in Harare after attending a cabinet meeting in Harare this afternoon. Please stay tuned as we take a brief break.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories. that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. Back to our topic, we are discussing the deportation of U.S. aid officials. This at a time when Zimbabwe is facing a crippling drought, and USAID and other organizations have been working with the government to assist food insecure communities. USAID Administrator Samantha Power, in a statement last Friday, said, I quote, the U.S. government is deeply concerned by Zimbabwean authorities' recent attempts to verbally and physically intimidate several U.S. government officials and contractors, subjecting some of them to overnight detention, transportation in unsafe conditions, prolonged interrogation, a seizure of and intrusion into personal electronic equipment, and forced deportation, end quote. The U.S. Department of State spokesperson Matthew Miller also released a statement demanding accountability by the Zimbabwean government. Reacting to Power's statement, President Emmerson Mnangagwa's spokesperson George Charamba on X, formerly Twitter, said, any meddlesome mission sent to Zimbabwe will be kicked out. And now to discuss this issue in detail, we are joined on the line by Professor Elliot Masocha, a political analyst and professor at the DeVry University in Ohio, and Dr. Masimba Mavaza of ZANU-PF based in London. Welcome to the program, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Welcome, Zimbabwe.
Thank you. What is the significance of this move by Zimbabwe on its relationship with the U.S.? Let's start with you, Dr. Mavaza.
You'd realize that every country has a right to protect its sovereignty. It has a right to protect its country. So when these U.S. aid people came to Zimbabwe, they slid away from their mandate. They slid away from the purpose of their visit. They started having private meetings with opposition members, with some other people, some anti-government activists, to an extent that they exposed their agenda, and which was not what they're supposed to come for. So in other words, you'd realize that 4 years ago, the USAID team was deported from England here, and it's not the first time that people are being deported in different countries. Some have been deported from different countries. Belgium deported Russians about a week ago. And the issue of deporting government officials who have strayed away from their mandate is very common. The country has to protect its own sovereignty, its integrity, and it has to keep what is supposed to be done. So what we must look at here is that when a person visits your country, he must be under the rules and laws and expectations of that country. If you go above it, there are no sacred goats, no sacred cows in the Zimbabwean system. If you Zimbabwe, you do what Zimbabweans expect. If you go against the government of Zimbabwe, you will be deported. They're actually lucky that they were not arrested. If it was in America, and if it was the Zimbabwean delegation which had gone outside their mandate, they would have been arrested and probably in prison. There are so many guys who have been arrested in different countries for spying, for and were in prison for a long, long time. But these ones, Zimbabweans, were civil. We just ask them to go back where they come from. And when they want to do the mandate of USA, they can come and do that, but not to mingle between local politics and whatever opinion they have on Zimbabwe, and try to augment their regime change agenda. So what was happening with these people had nothing to do with aid to Zimbabwe. This had nothing to do with the drought we have now, nothing to do with anything they're supposed to do. It was entirely a fact-finding mission by the American government through these people so that they would implement a regime change. They don't want to see ZANU-PF in power, and they're trying everything they can do to remove it. But unfortunately, this time, they came towards a prey which had already realized that they are being hunted. So they became the ones being hunted. The hunters became the hunted, because Zimbabwean intelligence worked extra hard to find out what was happening and expose the sinister things which were done by the American government.
Thank you, Dr. Mavaza. Professor Masocha, what's your take on this?
Well, when I look at it from a diplomatic, standpoint, I agree with some, of the things that Dr. Mavaza said, but I don't agree with most of what he said in terms of how the issue was handled by the Zimbabwean government. Because, Dr. Mavaza only talked about deportation, but the U.S. embassy did not protest only about the deportation, but the way everything was handled, the detention that happened, personal intrusion into some, personal items. And to me, I believe that it should have been just a misunderstanding of those individuals' mandate in Zimbabwe, which could have been handled differently, looking at where we are as Zimbabwe with the relationship with the United States. We don't want to jeopardize that, as we have seen after that incident, and the U.S. embassy came up, put the president, some of his associates on sanctions. Is that a win or not a win, right? So we have to learn how to resolve conflicts in a very friendly way. And I think those details that Dr. Mavaza is talking about now, were they not supposed to be told everybody way back when it happened, so that people would know, when they get in Zimbabwe, exactly what to do? Lessons were supposed to be learned from the government side, informing everybody. If they are going to secure citizens, citizens also need to know what happened and, who was involved and, how it can be avoided. Because the USAID, does a lot of things in Zimbabwe, right? So I think it was, it was handled in a heavy-handed way, of which the outcome is that Zimbabwe is going to lose more, as we have seen sanctions on the president and vice president and others. Says, well, is that a good thing for us? And I'm not saying it came from that incident, but I think it was something that was considered as well. And then, to say that the U.S. does not like ZANU-PF, that's not correct, because that's the same U.S. you're saying, you're saying that is allowing Zimbabwe to use the U.S. dollar as its own. Imagine if the U.S. is going to say, we don't want you to use our U.S. dollar, what's going to happen? Besides that, we look at one of the biggest embassies of the United States in Africa was built in Zimbabwe with over $300 million, providing jobs. So it's not about hurting Zimbabwe, absolutely not. I think that word, in diplomacy, we don't talk about that, because if we talk about hatred of this and that, and we look at the aid, the financial aid and many other aids that happened to Zimbabwe from the U.S., can we turn around and say, the U.S. hates ZANU-PF? Absolutely not. I disagree on that.
Thank you, Prof. Dr. Mavaza, you had a prof there raising the issue that things could have been done differently, and we're looking at that all this is happening at such a time when the government is struggling to feed Zimbabweans, and USAID and other organizations are coming in to help out at a time when there is a drought and there is inflation, prices are rising. Don't you think things could have been done differently, Dr. Mavaza?
No, actually, let me respond to Professor's two issues. The first issue, Professor, is that Zimbabwe cannot be held at ransom simply because we are having a drought. We cannot be held like our kids simply because we are benefiting. And again, you must realize that the use of the U.S. dollar has nothing to do with authority from America. Whether they want it or not, the moment they print money, it became public use. They can never, there is no law, there is no international law, they cannot stop us from using the U.S. dollar. So in either way, that is not, we cannot go back to America and kneel down and say, thank you for using your dollar, so do what you want with our country. So there is no other way of dealing with a spy. That is the only way. get them together, ask them what they are doing, why they are doing it, and deport them. They were not beaten up. They were not charged. They were not taken to court. They were simply told clearly that you have overstepped here. Go back to your country. When you learn some manners, come back. If you look at that aspect, there was no other better way of dealing with the spy except deporting them. So therefore, what happened there was the proper way, was the best way. And actually, we've been more civil than the Americans themselves. We've been more civil than other countries. Because if it was in China, those guys would be on a death sentence by now. But it was Zimbabwe, and Zimbabwe is a civil country. We simply told them, gentlemen, go back, and the lady, go back where you come from, learn some manners, and come back and let us work. Now, the fact that we are facing a drought and we are getting some providence from the Americans, the Europeans, and different countries, it does not reduce our sovereignty. It does not make us beggars. It does not make us useless people who could be told how to run their country. If you want to deal with our hunger, deal with our hunger, but don't deal with our power. Don't deal with our country. Don't deal with how we run our country. You are helping us, not with the condition to give up our sovereignty. So whatever has happened, it was the best way. We can never say it was the wrong way. That's the best way. There is no other decent way of dealing with a spy than the way we've done in these circumstances.
Thank you, Dr. Mavaza. Prof. Masocha, what will be the impact of all this on diplomatic ties between Zimbabwe and the U.S., taking into account that the United States recently imposed targeted sanctions on President Mnangagwa and his inner circle, citing human rights abuses and corruption?
Well, yeah, I wanted to respond to Dr. Mavaza. I think Dr. Mavaza doesn't really understand what diplomacy is all about, doesn't really understand what the economy is all about, the issue of using the U.S. dollar. He doesn't understand that if money is printed, it's public money. That's not the case, Dr. Mavaza. And that issue of failing to understand other people is what has put us in the situation we are in Zimbabwe, where the majority is getting poor and even starving, and we are saying, well, even if we starve, as long as we have power, let's think about people. Okay, the moment you use another country's currency, as the President Mnangagwa himself has said, and also Vice President Chiwengwa has said, there's no country that will ever develop using another country's currency. And what happens when you are using a country's currency, there can be some financial engineering from the owners of the money. But you, Dr. Mandaza, really doesn't want to look into that. There is no much good in doing this type of confrontation, instead of using diplomatic channels, just soften up. There wasn't any death that had happened, and also it was supposed to be made public. All of us said that we know. I'm not saying deportation was bad, but the way it was handled, and has been reported by the U.S. embassy, that's not good. And we also have to look at whom we are having confrontation with the United States of America, being the biggest, the biggest contributor to the United Nations. It has so much influence in the world. And we don't want to see Zimbabwe going on the wrong path. The president and his new cabinet have been working very hard for these relations to be where they are. For us, big or small people going and say, well, it was handled the correct way. That was the only way. We have to leave room for correcting ourselves and say, well, next time we are going to do this. That's supposed to be lifelong learners in terms of diplomatic issues, especially dealing with superpowers.
Thank you, Prof. Ndimboku. Time Romo, Pane Vauya Parunare. Hello, Delisani Ndlovu Linjan. Hello.
Yebo, ngiyaphila unjani Phosi?
Hayi, ngiyaphila, lingenile kuhlelo libona njani udaba lolo?
Udaba lolo nami mangithi ngiyalubukisisa ngiyabona ukuthi lapho ngathi akusekho kuhle kulabo bantu, kusho ukuthi bafuna ukusibona kungamathona nje wodwa la ngolephasi.
Pho kungenziwa njani-ke laphana Ndlovu?
Mina ngombono wami kulokuthiwa abantu sicabanga ngokufanayo nje, futhi manje singavela siphume unakana nendaba zalezi ezingani ngezopolitiki nini sibhekane ley'nkinga zethu kuphela ngoba ngathi usizo lwethu bona balufuna masezosikhawunti amavoti kungedlula lapho abasasinake sesiyimthwalo nje into zabo manje ngithi abona ukuthi labo bantu okuthiwa bayabaxosha bazosiza bona bayabaxosha ngenzeka ukuthi bafuna sife maybe zonke bekwazi ukuwushiya kahle umhlaba wethu.
Hayi kulungile, ngiyabonga Ndlovu. Ye kulabanye njalo abangenileyo kucingo. Hallo. 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 Kukhanya lowo kasizwa. Prof Masocha Tidzoke kwa Muri chatamba komisai. Hallo. Hello. Prof Masocha Tidzoke kwa Muri chatamba ku misai paya munogona kuendera nyimberi.
Kuti pane nzira dzakawanda dzinoshandiswa kunyaya dzekugadzi kuzvidzana kwenyika kuchiri kungomanyira kudipota pamwe chete nokumbunyikidza vanhu kunyanya nyika yatinoidyidzana nayo seamerica kunyaya dzemari zvinozoita izvo kuti ufupi hwedu husanaka dhora redu rirape richidonha vanhu vazhinji munyika varambe vachiita varombo kana tiri vanhu pamwe chete nehurumende inofunga ruzhinji rwuri munyika medu. Of course nyaya dzesecurity I hold them very much highly. Any country must be able to defend itself, but tinoda kunatsokuona kuti kana paine imwe nzira inosuggestwa navamwe vanhuwo kuti dai zvaitwa zvakati ngazvitambirwe tokwanisa kuti aiwa ramangwana titatarisa nenzira iyo, nokuti maonero andinoita ndokuti kwatiri kuenda senyika inyaya yokusatererana, yokufunga kuti munhu akakritisiza pati kana ZANU PF kana CCC watova muvengi waakutofambwa achinzi pasi naye. Handiwo mafambisirwo anofanira kuitwa ushamwari ukamba nomumhuri chaimo chaimo mukoma nomunun'una Dr. Mavaza vanhu vanokonana asi vachingozodyidzana. Saka potential ingava yakaitika zvayo asi maitikirwa yakaitwa nokusabuda pachena kwazvakazoita zvozobudiswa neamerican embassy mavonero angu ndokuti hapana kunge pakafambiswa zvakanaka mukuzvidzana kwenyika, nokuti zvinhu zvinozotiomera isu sokuomera kwazvakatoita kuti purezidendi wenyika dzose dzomuafrica uri pamasanctions ndipurezidendi wedu tingazvipemberera here tadhipota vanhu.
Saka tinotenda prof, nguva dzacho ndo dzati mhanyei. Regai tikumbire Dr. Mavaza vangopindura pa 1 minute yasara kuti pane nyaya iri kuramba ichidzoka yekuti sei hurumende yakamirira kuti igotaura America yataura ivo vasina kutaura kuti ndo zvaitika vachiudza vanhu. Dr. Mavaza,
kana tichidhira nenyaya yeuchenjeri kana kuti yatingati intelligence yenyika yesecurity yenyika hatingomhanya kutaurira vanhu. Zvino zvinoitwa chimbi chimbi murunyararo, zvinoita takaviga tsvimbo kuburitsa pachena kunozokuitwa chete kana iye munhu wacho abatwa azviburitsa ega pachena. Saka hazvina kuipa kuti Zimbabwe yakazvivanza kusvikira yaendisa vanhu. Ndo inonzi respect, we respected their rights, we respected them and sent them back to their country in a very private and fast manner. So iyo vakazozvibudisa yega haisi transparency. Paitova kuda kutsvaga mutomo asi aiwa seZimbabwe tinoti we cannot be bullied because we are hungry.
Unfortunately, we are out of time. Let me take this opportunity to thank you so much for coming on the program. Signing off in Washington, I am your host, Tabo Kangube.